Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today, we're talking about soil zones and why this matters to you, because it will drastically change how you choose to manage your soil that you have. So let's get into it. I don't know where the book is, but this channel is dedicated to science, plant science, soil science, you name it. And I like to take that science and apply it in a way that makes sense to gardeners. I have researched and worked in and help farm family-wise in agriculture. So very big, large-scale operations. And we already kind of know the deal with soil zones and that sort of thing. So we manage them accordingly. But gardeners don't realize that this is the case. So, and this can help you drastically. Now, there are so many different forms of soil profiles. And there's a book, Canadian Soil Profile Book. It's orange, black, and whatever. I'll put it here. That is what soil scientists use. I don't know where mine is. It must be, I don't know. It's got to be somewhere in there. But that, if I showed that to you, that's a mess. I'll just put it here. There's the online versions now. Works just as well. But that's not what we're talking about here today. We're not talking about those profiles that are in there. What we are talking about is the zones themselves. And these are what we call major soil zones. So major soil zones are very broad swaths that we find on a map that give us very broad range, but important information about where you are. So let's start at the top of the map, and that is what we call dark gray. So dark gray very commonly is seen in forest, more forested areas, very sandy areas, and the characteristic for that form of soil is that there's an annual precipitation between 300 and 500 millimeters. So this tells us the precipitation that we see. And this is on the higher end for the precipitation that we'll talk about in the other zones. But this higher end level of precipitation, combined with the fact that a lot of this is forest soil, so lewisolic soil, that sort of thing, and it's sandy, means that there is something we call leaching. Now, I've talked about leaching in regards to nutrients, but leaching can happen in regards to organic material, nutrients, a whole shwackload of stuff. And the excess precipitation combined with kind of the sandy macroporosity ultimately does tend to wash out a lot of nutrients. It tends to wash out a lot of color, which gives us this dark gray. And it's not considered very fertile soil. The organic material in this area is at about a 4.5. And if you didn't know, reference point, what that means, 5% is like a healthy soil, or where we want to aim for this to be, between 5 and 10%. We don't want to be gardening in straight compost or straight peat if we don't have to. I mean, of course, some people are limited to that, but if we don't have to and we want to use mineral soil, and I mentioned that in one video, and people are very confused as to what mineral soil is and how to buy it. You don't buy it. It's like your yard. It's the ground that you walk on that has been growing vegetation for the last, I don't know, few million years. That's mineral soil. It's like the OG gardener, mineral soil. It's just what's below your feet. So the gray stuff is lower in organic material and it has this microporosity. So what we tend to do if we are gardening in this area, or if you're gardening in this area and you're using the ground, I would encourage you to add organic material. And every single year, you're gonna have to add organic material because of that leaching, the physical characteristic of a leaching. And once you put irrigation on it and stuff, it's gonna get even worse. So things like compost, peat, coconut coir, and mulching. So stuff that allows kind of the water to not necessarily like really flood through, but disperse and move around in the form of like grass, leaf litter, that sort of thing. That's gonna help you if you're gardening in a zone like this. And if you dig and it looks gray and it doesn't look, it's very obvious what a gray soil zone looks like, that you have that. And you don't necessarily have to be in that band to have it, but you're most likely in that gray, dark gray band to have it. So keep that in mind. So just below that is the black soil zone. And this is what we call black gold. Swear to goodness, it is, if you're a farmer and you farm in that area, you've got the best luck in the world. It is between 5 and 10% organic material. It gets between 400 and 475 millimeters of precipitation a year. It has what we call low rates of evapotranspiration. And the definition for that is essentially the rate in which water is released from the soil, the plant, the whole ecosystem into the atmosphere. And it's lower in the black soil zone. And this is because drought is less frequent in this area. We tend to have warm winds in this space, so that matters. And we're gonna talk about winds even more the lower we get. And ultimately, this is the best case scenario. It can range. You can have sandier soils here. You can have loams, which is like the best. You can have clays commonly as well, heavy clays in some cases. And that whole area is perfect for gardening. It can get a little bit hard at times. It can become a little bit too aggregated. And so if that is the case, and that's something that you're battling with, well, except for the tillage radish, but if you're manipulating the soil surface, you're just doing low till, not no till. Keep that in mind. But yeah, use that soil. If you have it, use it. Go dig into it. I swear to goodness, it is like the best. It'll give you the best crops possible. Now, if you have, and you're not scared of tillage, and I'm the person that's like, use the tools you have. I mean, you're not a mass scale farmer, so your little bit of tillage that you're doing in your yard is not gonna make or break the environment. And in some cases, it's necessary. It's actually very necessary just to get you to a point where you don't have to till anymore. So keep that in mind. But if you're gonna till, and I would work in organic material. If it's compost, go compost. I would go peat personally. And peat is not bad. I've got videos on that. Go check them out. I'm not gonna get into that here. But rototill that in particular, that first kind of top foot-ish, if possible. And that will be enough to break it up for the future. And you probably won't have to till again for a while anyways. And that will help with that aggregation or that real clumping we tend to see in this zone. But if you're there, I don't have much to say other than you're lucky because you have ideal soil. Just below that, we have the dark brown soil zone. So this area gets 325 to 375 millimeters of precipitation. So you can see it's starting to go down a little bit. And this does affect how much plant vegetation classically grows there. So the reason why we see the dark soil zone at a 5 to 10% organic matter in its profile is because that precipitation combined with low rates of evapotranspiration means just very explosive growth, a ton of biomass accumulation, very fertile soil, which just keeps on building and building and building on itself. So it just keeps getting better and better. This zone is where the water starts to disappear. And once the water starts to disappear, the plants tend to begin to struggle. And then we get less organic material input, less biomass input. And then the trickle effect of that, of course, is lower fertility soil, but not horribly low. It has what we consider moderately high rates of evapotranspiration. It still has warm winds, which helps to a point. And it's that just that lower rate of precipitation and more intense heat that we tend to see. And that ultimately makes it a little bit less fertile. And we start to see a little bit weaker soil. If you garden in this space, you could incorporate compost. In particular, if you didn't want to do compost or something to integrate into the soil system, I would be mulch. Mulch, hands down, is going to be the lifesaver for you because that...
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Will help bring that evapotranspiration rate down, which will help your garden in the long run. Another thing to consider is you may want irrigation in this space, particularly with the year we're going into. I think it's going to be another drought year, guys. So that is another thing that you may want to think about in this case. So if you're doing like a large scale garden, keep in mind for good performance, you may want irrigation. The black soil zone, we can sometimes get away with just using the rain in many cases with a little bit of irrigation. This is where we start to see you need a little bit more. And we're starting to get higher levels of lime as well. And that means that our pH is starting to change. It can get a little bit alkaline in these spaces. So maybe consider testing your soil pH. It doesn't have to be fancy, just a rapid test is what you should use. And then from there, go into treating that soil pH as necessary. If you combine the extra lime that we tend to see in this soil with the irrigation that we need because of the lower rates of precipitation, our alkalinity tends to climb because our water in these spaces, when you start getting lime involved, the alkalinity of the water goes up too. So it's just, you're dousing it and dousing it and dousing it. So it just keeps climbing. I am going to do, because you guys have requested this like repeatedly, how to change the pH of your soil. I'm going to do videos on that, but yeah, that's something to look at. So the next one is the brown soil zone. Now we're getting really low in the country, kind of the bottom. Most of the United States kind of falls into this, particularly where they farm. And this is a zone that gets 275 millimeters to 325 millimeters of precipitation. It's low. That's low. And in these zones, if you're not gardening under irrigation, you're going to want to go for taproot plants, really deep diggers like legumes, peas, that sort of thing. Taproot plants, roots that are not taproot plants or plants that don't dig for water or dig in the soil profile would need to be placed under irrigation because they're probably not going to make it. The rates of evapotranspiration are what we consider high. The highest that we see out of any of the profiles. And we also have frequent, hot, dry winds. This is where the wind matters. The wind in these areas is hot and it is dry. Notice how it's not warm, it's hot and dry. So the evapotranspirations just skyrocket. Now, once we get higher levels of all that, unfortunately, our organic material, the biomass accumulation that we get begins to go down, and so our organic material begins to go down. And so these areas, we tend to see very low levels of organic material, way below what we want to hit, that 5%, at like a 2 or 3. Because of this, the soil profile is not as developed. We don't see these really nice bands of organic material accumulation and fertility, I guess you could say, in some cases, or humus, that leaf litter layer on top. We don't see that in these soils. It is pretty much the same color, the whole darn thing. And it's not because of leaching. It's not like what we see in the dark gray. It is because we don't have the growth. We can't sustain the growth because of the level of precipitation. So if you're in this zone, the first thing I would do is add organic material. I would add compost in particular. I probably wouldn't do peat. I would do something with nutrients. So manures and compost, something high in organic material and nutrient rich as well. And I would also utilize irrigation in this space and a regular fertilizer. You want to get to that 5% organic material mark. It's one of those things, like the planner that I have has a lot of soil testing you can do to kind of figure out where you sit on some of this stuff. But ultimately speaking, the color is a really good indicator of how much organic material is in your soil. And we want, the darker the color, the closer to black it is, the better your soil is, the healthier, the more fertile it is. So just keep on adding organic material until you can increase the color. It's not gonna happen overnight. You're not gonna get this in 1 year. You're probably gonna get this over a span of 5, 6, 7 years, but start somewhere. And incorporating that in, you're gonna have to till it. You could do like Charles Downing, build up, but I mean, it's not gonna, in my mind, it's not gonna benefit you. It's not gonna help you work with what you have. So rototill it in. Sorry, just do it. You can hate me for it. I don't care. Rototill it in, and then irrigation. Lots of water, deep waterings, like very deep waterings. You water and you want it to soak through the profile, and mulch. Mulch is going to protect you from that hot, dry wind, very important. And again, like grass clippings, leaf litter, something that's very fine and just caked on top. Cardboard, you name it, something thick and heavy. Don't do like wood mulch, or do something thick, heavy. Something that even absorbs moisture is going to help you enormously. That is pretty much all the major soil zones in Canada. I don't know the major soil zones in the US. I actually don't know if you guys have a map. I scoured the internet, but I don't see anything. And if there's a soil scientist watching this channel that knows that there's an American major map, can you let me know in the comments below? Send me an email with a link to it. I'm sure your USDA has a link to this. I just simply cannot find it for the life of me. And I will go through those soil zones if we can find it. But as of right now, I don't think it exists. You characterize your soils. Why would you not? It's not just a Canadian thing. I don't think anyways. If you don't have a map and you're watching this from the UK or Australia, I've got people from the Philippines watching, international channel, despite being called Gardening Canada, which I love. The color of your soil is what matters. You want it closer to black, then you want it to light brown or gray or white, that sort of thing. You want it to be as close to black. And the best way to get it there is to incorporate and add organic materials to push it that direction, and increasing precipitation, which will increase biomass both underground and above ground, so the roots as well. And that will just slowly accumulate and begin to change your soil profile color, which ultimately change your soil profile. And we see this. We've seen this historically with like the Mayans, for example. They've got soil profiles out in Amazon, which is basically a gray soil zone, for lack of better terms. And it is it's a soil that doesn't naturally hold any nutrients. It doesn't hold water. It doesn't hold organic material. But we have these little clumps of like black, fertile, moisture-retaining mysteries. And it's because the Mayans integrated and rototilled, unfortunately, lack it is what they did, organic material into their soil systems. They believe biochar. They're not 100%, but they believe it's biochar mixed in, and they incorporated it in a way that made a fertile soil in what would otherwise be a food desert. So it is totally possible. We're just lazy as gardeners, and we just want to grow up. We just want to add stuff on top and then grow from there. Don't do that. Put the work in and you will thank yourselves later, because it will leave a garden that will produce and do the work for you for years to come. So I hope this helped you guys out. Let me know in the comments down below what soil zone you think you're in based on the map, and or if you're in the US or somewhere else in the world, what color is your soil? Do you know what your soil profile color is, or have you been so adamant in no-till so you don't even know what's below the surface? I'd be interested to know where you guys are at. And if you learned anything from this video, I don't do these nerdy ones very often. Well, I don't like doing these nerdy videos all the time, but you guys asked for it. So there we go. Thanks for watching. I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.